So roughly 2,020 years ago, a child was born into similar circumstances and situation as most people in the history of the world have been born, which was being born in obscurity and in poverty, subject to a foreign power with not many prospects for life to really change or improve much until the time that they die in much the same way they came into the world, in obscurity and in poverty. And this is the story of the majority of the people born in the history of the world. In addition, this child who was born to very young parents, likely in a cave that had been turned into a stable, and was given a feeding trough or a manger as his first bed, and spent his first few nights surrounded by animals. So why in the world are we here 2,020 years later still talking about this birth? I mean, it defies logic, and there's nothing comparable to it in the history of the world. And so I think it begs the question, whether you're a skeptic or a seeker or a sure believer, it begs the question, what child is this? Over the past few weeks, as Hannah said in our church, we've been exploring the wonder of the Christmas story, what Christians call the incarnation, meaning God in the flesh, taking on the form of a human being and subjecting himself to the limitations of the physical universe and the human experience, coming down near us to be with us. It's why we call him Emmanuel, God with us, close to us in our circumstances, understanding and compassionate, not a God who is distant and removed. But I realize tonight that, of course, not everybody fully believes this, either intellectually in your head or in your mind you don't believe it, or in the deep places of your heart you don't believe it, even if you ascribe to the belief in your mind. For when you believe this truth, it changes everything. And it becomes the all-consuming passion in your life as we are filled with love for this God who would love us so much that he would forsake all his privileges and come as a vulnerable baby, live a perfect life, and die on the cross in our place. And so I think the best approach is at least to come into Christmas with an open heart and an open mind, and at least ask the question made famous by the song that we sang of, what child is this? And so I want to just briefly tonight, as you prepare your hearts for Christmas, and hopefully to prepare your heart to receive in a fresh way this Christ child into your heart, I want to briefly look at this question through three different lenses, looking at the actual few lyrics from this actual song, as well as what the scriptures tell us, some of which we've already read. So let's finish the text from Luke that has already been read through verse 14, and let's read verses 15 through 20 now, the rest of the story, which says that when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So I just want to briefly talk about three different attitudes or postures of our heart with regard to who this baby is and what he means for our lives. And so I want to talk about the skeptic, the seeker, and the sure, and how each of them might answer or ask this question, what child is this. So first, let's start with the skeptic. And so the skeptic says, what child is this? Meaning this person looks at this baby in a feeding trough and scoffs. What child is this? You want me to worship this? A baby? You call this a king? This baby born into a no-good circumstance? As the song says, why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Meaning, why is this supposed king lying in a measly manger in a place reserved for animals? How could this possibly be meaningful or matter to my life? And in the Bible, this is sort of the attitude of King Herod in Matthew 2, which you heard read earlier. He thought it was ridiculous enough that he could just put away any talk of a Messiah or a king of the people by just killing him and all the other innocent children during that day. So this group is mostly dismissive of the whole idea of God coming as a baby. It's just too much for them, the absurdity of worshiping a baby. And maybe you're here tonight and your family dragged you here and you're wondering, you know, what's all the fuss about this baby born 2,000 years ago? What could that possibly have to do with my everyday life? And so you dismiss the whole story, and this was me at one point in my life. As I've shared with our congregation, I once actually made fun of Christians and their beliefs and their lifestyle and mocked them. But as we'll see, the truth is that this story has everything to do with your life and our lives and the history of the world and the meaning of life itself. And that's something that I personally eventually discovered as well. And the second group at least recognizes this possibility. And so the second group is the seeker. And the seeker asks, what child is this? This is someone who is genuinely curious about why this child they call Jesus has fascinated people for 2,000 years and why people give their lives and their hearts and their worship to this man. They recognize that about 2 billion people around the world are worshiping Jesus as the Savior of the world this Christmas. And they wonder, what child is this? This is depicted in the opening of the song. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? I mean, who could this be that is getting the attention of angels? Back to the biblical story, I think this may have originally been the position of the shepherds. I mean, they're just hanging out in their fields one night, keeping watch over their flocks, when all of a sudden some angels break in with this good news. And so it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they're curious. They see this as something worth checking out. I mean, potentially they think this might be a big deal. So let's make the effort to go to Bethlehem and see what this is all about. And maybe this is you tonight. This was me 16 years ago when someone invited me to a Christmas service just like this at a time where I was seeking and what pushed me into falling in love with Jesus. And so if this is you, I encourage you to lean in, to go and seek what this is all about. For the Lord tells us, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And see, the skeptic never even bothers to really ask or to seek and see what this is all about. But the seeker at least wonders, what is this life all about? What was I created for? What's my purpose? And what might Jesus have to do with it? And my hope tonight is that as you seek, you may come to the third group of people, just as the shepherds did, of the shore. And the shore no longer ask it as a question, but it's an exclamation. And they say, what child is this? exclamation point. The Bible says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, the shepherds make the transition from seeker to sure believer. They go from wondering, what child is this, to what child is this, to a posture of awe and wonder and worship and amazement, realizing that this is the one they've been waiting for, the Messiah, the hoped for one. And as the song says with surety and confidence, this is Christ the King. And what makes one feel that way? To be able to declare it confidently and surely that Christ is the King. Well, the shepherds, they saw him and they experienced him for themselves. And for those who have experienced and seen Jesus, there's nothing like it. I mean, no longer is it absurd to worship this baby. Rather, he is the humble King who deserves my everything. He is more beautiful than words can capture. The mystery of his birth and its meaning never gets old. See, since I discovered Jesus at the age of 17, almost 18, he has been the all-consuming passion in my life, and I've never regretted it for a moment. And for those who know and have experienced this Jesus, he is the most beautiful, captivating, compelling thing we have ever known. He is what we live for he is a God worthy of our very lives. For not only did he come as a baby, as was promised and prophesied, but he then lived his life in a way that revealed the heart of God, his love and his kindness and his compassion, and ultimately showed God's love in the most amazing way that we have ever seen, by taking our punishment on the cross for our sins. And so the song says, nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross he bore for me and for you. Hail and hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. But it didn't end at the cross. On the third day, he rose again and later ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to be with us now so that we might experience him in the present, just like the shepherds did on that night. The King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Jesus is still changing people and bringing them into an experience of awe and wonder and worship at who he is today, just like he did on the night he was born. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up, and I don't know where you are tonight on a night like this. We get people, of course, from all kinds of different places in their life, and I don't know if you walked in here as a skeptic or as a seeker or perhaps a sure believer. But I encourage you, first, if you're a skeptic, to at least jump into that second group and begin to humbly ask the question, what child is this? Instead of scoffing at the idea of the God of all creation coming as a newborn baby. For those who are maybe seekers but want to move toward becoming a sure believer, then we encourage you or those who are seekers to join a vibrant, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing church and just begin to seek after him and enter into this story, because if it's true, it's worth everything you have. And for those who are already seekers and you're here because you're already curious about Jesus, You're a bit fascinated by him, although it's from a distance. And you don't have a close personal relationship with him. Well, then, like the shepherds, I encourage you to experience him, to find out, like the shepherds, that it is, in fact, as you have been told, and to proclaim with confidence in your heart, this is Christ the King, and exclaim with joy and amazement, what child is this? And so we're going to sing this song again before we light the candles and go into silent night of what child is this. And I encourage you to just use these words as the prayer and as the feelings of your heart toward the God of all creation, and open up your hearts to this man, Jesus, and see what happens on this Christmas Eve as you seek him. So why don't you stand with me?